You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Lake Superior to Lake Michigan. This is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:06 right now. Good morning and thank you so much for joining us today. We always appreciate it no matter where you're listening, whether you're listening on your radio today or maybe even your app, which, by the way, you can download for free over at your Google or your Apple store and hear us, take us wherever you are, you go. Also, hear some really great music choices because all of our 30-some stations are over on that app.
That's nice.
So you have lots of options. Oh, and hey, Brian, we also have a Facebook page we'd love people to go check out.
And don't forget Instagram.
Yes.
We're everywhere that you need to be.
That's right.
As Jamie said, take the app with you. And then when you're like, I've had enough news, here, listen to music for a little bit, get an interlude, and then come back and listen to some more.
I'm going to start doing that during the show. I'm going to start taking an interlude during the show.
Parker, you're in charge. Just every once in a while I go, interlude. And then we'll do like 15 seconds of soft music.
That's right.
We'll take a breath. Take a breath.
That's right.
We'll come back and continue the story.
Hey, sometimes you just got to calm down a little.
Well,
that's fine.
There's a lot going on.
Pete Hegseth is speaking now, and I see Pete Hegseth, and all I hear in my head is Colin Jost. Colin Jost does a great Pete Hegseth on SNL. But Pete says we're winning. We are winning. What did he call them? Barbarians?
Yes. Barbaric savages this morning.
Barbaric savages, that was it. They all love the adjectives. There's a lot of adjectives in Pete's thing, a lot of pointing with his doing that tomahawk point.
They got thesauruses for Christmas, I'm pretty sure, so that they can find out lots of adjectives and they can mix up the words a little bit. I'm sure of it at this point.
That makes sense. It's not a bad, as far as crazy theories go about this administration, that's not far-fetched. But yes, he's saying Iran is standing alone and they are totally defeated and they're racing to build a nuclear weapon, which
I was pretty sure we had destroyed that ability for them to do that, hadn't we?
At least that's
what we've been told.
Jamie.
I'm sorry. Do I need to stop asking questions again? Is that what the problem is?
What did Pete just tell us?
Well, here's the problem.
We are winning.
I don't know if I trust Pete, but, you know, that's just me. You choose to trust Pete or not. I'm not sure that I trust Pete or anybody else in this administration to actually tell me really what's happening. But, you know, here we are today.
Not a chance. And I feel bad because there's Dan Kane, the head of the Joint Chiefs, and he's got to stand there next to Pistol Pete. And discuss what's happening. So we'll keep you posted on any developments that comes out of that. But close to home, if you've had to buy a concert ticket in the last number of years, you know Live Nation has a lock on ticket sales. And, you know, even though Eddie Vedder, how long ago was that they were going to fight Live Nation and the monopoly? That didn't work out, Eddie. Well, the U.S. Department of Justice announced a tentative settlement in its antitrust lawsuits against Ticketmaster and its parent company, Live Nation Entertainment, over allegations the company has an illegal monopoly in live events industries. You think?
These aren't allegations. Anybody who's ever bought a ticket for any sort of venue knows that these are not actually allegations. This is true. But that's okay.
Oh my God,
I get
you can't
legalese.
Buy it. All right. Well, the government says that the agreement would increase competition in ticket sales and limit some Ticketmaster control over venues and events. Yeah, because Live Nation pretty much runs the show. Remember when there was Ticketron?
Yes.
And it was there, but you could buy tickets at a couple places. That's when you'd stand outside Sears for hours and hours. Trying to get in and find the window that was up behind the appliances to buy your tickets.
And unfortunately, we don't have to do with that anymore. We go online. Although there were some good memories in standing in those ticket lines over the years as well.
You had a lot of fun people standing in those lines.
You really did. But under this new proposed settlement, venues would be allowed to sell a portion of their tickets through competing competing ticket platforms rather than just exclusively through Ticketmaster. At places that like amphitheaters that are owned, operated, or controlled by Live Nation, up to 50% of tickets could be sold through other ticket marketplaces. Ticketmaster service fees at those venues would also be capped at 15%, an attempt to limit the higher fees that a lot of us pay when we're buying our tickets. And Live Nation would also be required to divest ownership or control of 13 amphitheaters across the country, including a venue in Milwaukee, interestingly enough. Now, this agreement also calls for Live Nation to establish a $280 million settlement fund that would go towards state claims, civil penalties, and potentially compensation tied to this lawsuit. And the deal would also extend the existing consent decree between the Justice Department Live Nation for another 8 years, which essentially just allows federal regulation to continue so that they can monitor the company's business practices and ticket policies. In other words, saying, we know as soon as we take our eye off you, you're going to go right back to doing what you were doing before.
Sneaky Pete's, we're standing on top of you.
Now, I think this is interesting, though, because when you really look at this, I mean, I get it. I get they're trying to regulate some of this. Is it really going to matter? Because Live Nation still gets to keep most of the money. There's still the cap still isn't enough to basically offset a lot of what you're paying with all the service fees and things. I doubt
that the amount of tickets they would have to give up are going to be prime tickets.
Right.
We'll give you some tickets. I hope you bring Kleenex because your nose will be bleeding.
Right. Exactly. Now,
that's why Wisconsin isn't going along with this.
No.
Jamie.
There's actually more than 24 states that have rejected this settlement, and they plan to continue to pursue this case in court. Now, the attorney generals from these states argue that this deal that we're talking about right here, it doesn't go far enough to address the dominance that Live Nation has over a lot of parts of the live entertainment industry, including the concert promotion, the venue ownership and management, and those ticketing platforms. In fact, a lot of critics say that Live Nation has used long-term contracts, exclusivity agreements, and threats of retaliation to discourage other venues from working with those competing ticket companies. But these are just alleged monopolies that they have.
Alleged. If you remember standing out in line, tell us share your favorite experience of standing out waiting for tickets. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Because this, I realized, Jamie, as we started talking about that, this is such a foreign concept to Parker.
Yes.
Imagine Parker having to go
when you were talking about the lions and stuff and Sears, I was like, what's a Sears? I don't know.
Well, we'll start there. What's a Sears? But you would go and they had the Ticketron booths were in department stores. A lot of them were at Sears. And they'd be like way up in the back by the customer service.
Okay.
And so people would start lining up and then there'd be some nerd up front and he'd make the list.
Yep.
You got to sign the list so we know the order. But then the doors would open, Jamie. And correct me if I'm wrong, the list went out the window as people literally raced to try to get to customer service to get in line.
They trampled the nerd who was still there waving his papers.
I have the list.
Yeah.
I have the list.
We didn't care about your list. We were there to get our tickets.
Honor the line.
I remember, and a Ticketron was a little bit more foreign to me, but there were, I also remember the venues where you would stand outside their ticket booth, outside, like literally outside. And
outside,
if it was a big show, you would camp outside for at least a night in line with other people because you wanted to be first to get in line for those tickets. There was no holding back portions of tickets so that you could sell them at a bigger resale value later on. When they were gone, and everybody paid the same amount. It was awesome.
And the scalpers had to wait. The scalpers had to wait in line just like us.
Yes.
The longest I slept out. They earned their money. They paid some chumps to stand in line for them.
The nerd with the list.
The longest I stayed out was 2 days for Springsteen tickets.
Yeah.
Camped outside a Sport Mart.
Yeah.
For a couple hundred other people.
Right. And you literally camped. You literally brought lawn chairs and sleeping bags and you made sure you had a food plan. And if you had to use the bathroom, you made sure you had somebody who could stand in line for you while you use the bathroom. It was a thing.
This both sounds horrible and fantastic at the same time.
It was fantastic.
It was both. It was exactly both of those.
Yeah.
we
you always hope for good weather though.
See, that's what I'm
afraid
of.
That's true. That's true. And you weren't buying tickets like a year and a half ahead of time either for a concert. It was a few months.
Yeah.
America used to be great.
It truly was awesome.
One of my favorites was in college. We slept out we were there for a day to get Willie Nelson tickets. And we ended up fifth row center, so it was worth it. But that was really fun because you're in college and you have zero responsibilities. Yeah, we should have been going to class, but we had to get Willie Nelson tickets. And so then it's just a party, and there's hundreds and hundreds of people lined up.
You're all having a party outside for the same reason.
It's a party, and everybody's just chill, and you're having a good time. And then you get to the concert, and you're like, oh, and you meet people that, you know, who knows? Who knows how many romances bloomed in lines for those concerts?
Wow. Hopefully a lot.
I did jump a line once.
Oh, you did? Oh.
Well, here's the deal. We were lined up for REO Speedwagon at 38 Special.
Okay. Oh, 38 Special is who doesn't love 38 Special? The best.
And this was when REO was at peak high infidelity popularity. Mm. So they were doing five nights in Chicago at the old amphitheater. So I was at my local Sears, and I was in line, and there was the list. And somebody must have left on the list because they start calling names. Because sometimes people would follow. People are very predestined to be sheep.
Yes.
We follow.
Yes.
And if somebody sounds official and you're on the list, you're going to follow it. Well, my name was on the list, but it was way down. Well, they kept calling somebody's name who had not, either they left or they were asleep or they were dead. I don't know what happened to them. But either way, I became that person. And I was like, that's me. And I walked up and I got my number. And then I went in and bought my tickets. And I still was behind the stage.
Right? I mean, it was such a simpler time. It sounds ridiculous, but that's what we did. And it was a simpler time. And it sure
it was fun.
And it was. And it sure beats what Live Nation's been doing all these years by overcharging everybody as well. In fact, when it comes to this particular case, some of these state officials who want this to pursue further argue that the practices of Live Nation limit competition and also contribute to these higher ticket prices for fans. And if you think about that, just think about the entertainment that we have in this state in the summer, right? You look at all the concerts at Fiserv Forum, Alpine Valley, Summerfest, even all of the smaller venues that you have to go purchase those tickets. And by the time you get your tickets, okay, granted, let's say they're $100 a ticket, right? You get those. By the time Live Nation puts all their fees on, you're looking at close to $200, if not more, depending on where in the venue and what Live Nation has in their grasp, right? If they own that venue and things.
And we all can complain and say, why are the fees as much as the ticket? There's nothing we can do. Hopefully this will change things. And kudos on bringing it back, Jamie. That we had gone off on a tangent. And kudos to you for reining me in.
It's good.
Saying, enough of the stories. We must move back. So we do. And it is an important thing because I was just looking for tickets the other day for something. And I'm like, all right, well, that's, you know, in the summer, I only sit in the lawn because those are relatively, depending on the show, relatively inexpensive.
And it's fun.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
That's the reason I go to a show, to have fun. But then I'm looking at the fees and I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
I've almost doubled the price for a lawn seat.
Right. It's
and you know how much I love to roll around in the grass.
we found this out yesterday. Tom from Hartford says, Monsters of Rock, REO Speedwagon, Foghat, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, all at Soldier Field. Oh, come on now.
The Monsters of
love
Rock
it.
Tour. That
love
was
it.
Great.
7:19 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Swiper Stay next on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
7:22 right now. It is time for Swiper's Day when we do break out of our political bubble, talk about something that isn't politics related, and we have a whole lot of fun along the way. Our producer Frank joins us this morning. How are you today?
I'm good. Now I'm thinking of all my concert buying experiences, and I've just had some bad ones too, Brian, as you know.
No. Yes. Oh, true. True.
Yeah.
They're always bad ones. But what's in the bright side, Frank? What are we swiping and staying
on today?
I don't
know if there's bright side, but all there's right. to be some shenanigans.
Well, oh, shenanigans are good.
I like shenanigans.
Shenanigans are great. Everybody loves some shenanigans.
Swipe Especially your steak. As we go towards St. Patrick's Day. That's it.
Yes.
There you go. I'll shut
up. Swipe your steak. Here are the rules. I'm going to read out some vague pop culture headlines. Brian and Jamie will have to decide whether they want to stay on it or swipe on to the next one. In the event of a tie, Parker will be the tiebreaker. Let's move on to story number one. A controversial musician was caught sleeping in court.
I'm going to swipe.
All right, I'm going to stay on this one because it sounds fun. Pardon?
Parker, you get to be tiebreaker for story number one. What are you going with?
It does sound fun. I'm staying.
Oh, he agreed with you today.
He sided with me.
I got you, Brian.
Wow. That's because I didn't mock him about not knowing about Sears and tickets because there was helped. No way he was going to know about Sears and tickets.
So, Jamie probably had a talk with him. You have to agree with Brian.
Placate him. He's cranky.
Right. So Kanye West.
Oh, Kanye.
Was caught sleeping during a trial involving his former Malibu mansion. Now, West had a luxury mansion on the beach that he bought for $57 million. He ended up selling it for $21 million after gutting the entire house into a literal concrete shell. I'm not exaggerating. Go look it up. It is literally just a concrete slab, basically.
Is this the court case his wife wore clothes to for the first time in, like, ever? I'm pretty sure, because she showed up to testify the other day, and she wore clothes.
I think so.
Like, real clothes. Not see-through clothes. Real clothes. It was fascinating.
Wow.
Right. Bianca Censori.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. The contractor is suing him for unpaid wages after stripping down the entire thing. Rolling Stone magazine reported that he repeatedly yawned, closed his eyes for long stretches, and at times seemed to catch his head falling forward. My favorite part is the judge at one point looked over and said, "Is he asleep?"
Well, in his defense, the lawyers are doing the lawyering.
Yeah.
He's just got to sit there. It's got to be boring.
Not when you're on the sand.
It's got to be hard.
Yeah. You know what? You're right, Jamie. It's tough being Kanye West.
It is tough being Kanye West. Yes.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next one. A bizarre NBA promotion has officially been canceled.
I'll stay.
Ooh. Yeah, I'll stay too.
Good, because I love this one. The Atlanta Hawks Magic City Night has officially been canceled by the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver.
For those Magic City, Frank?
Yes, for those of you not in the know, Magic City is a very popular Atlanta strip club, well known for its chicken wings. I'm not
As most strip joints are.
Look up Lou Williams getting out of the NBA bubble back during COVID to go pick up a pickup order from Magic City for some chicken wings and fries. It's a real thing. So this caught...
Hairs are extra.
A lot of attention. They were doing a collab night. They were going to have T.I. perform at halftime. They were going to have their food there. They had employees there, fully clothed. Just putting it out there. But there were a lot of people that spoke out against it. San Antonio Spurs center Luke Kornet said the night sent a bad message to the women of the NBA community. So Adam Silver ultimately shut it down.
What a buzzkill.
Right. Embrace the culture. Magic City is Atlanta. Atlanta is Magic City. Everybody knows about it.
Well, now they do.
Well, they do now.
Everybody's spreading the word.
Yeah.
Food at a gentleman's club, Frank, pro or con?
I've never been to one, but I
a
will.
Gentleman's club?
Yeah.
Oh,
I have no desire, personally.
Well, you're
does nothing for me.
You're a lovely human.
Right? But if I was there, I'd be hitting up the buffet or whatever food is there because that's what I would be there for. So, yay.
Okay, there you go. Very nice. Maybe this is a discussion for the secret show.
Maybe. I think so.
Story number Trey, please.
Yeah. For those of you just catching up with us, we are doing Swipe or Stay. We're moving on to story number three. A rock star debunks feud rumors.
Swipe.
Yeah, let's swipe this one.
Taylor Swift's fiance makes career decision.
Anything Swifty, I am staying.
Mr. Swift himself, Travis Kelce, is returning to the Chiefs for one more season. Oh, at least.
Thank God.
Yikes. He has not announced. So his New Heights podcast posted on Instagram saying he's back. This comes after the Chiefs missed the playoffs for the first time in 10 years last season with Patrick Mahomes ending his season early. Now, I don't know about you guys, but there was no way Travis Kelce was going to end on that note.
No.
Patrick Mahomes wasn't on the field with him. I don't think they ended the season at home.
No.
Not in the playoffs. There was just no way.
No.
No. Plus, Taylor doesn't want him just sitting around the house all
right.
day.
Right. I mean, she's got things to do. Something. He better, don't be a bum on my couch kind of thing. But go work.
But he's not going to be. Let's be honest.
No, he's going to be a media person.
He's
going
to have a great career. Yeah.
He's going to go straight to Amazon Prime Movies and be like an action star for some like 50% Rotten Tomatoes and lower.
Oh, he won't care. He'll just do it because 100%. It's fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Fun action comedy starring Travis Kelce.
Do you think
he was in something? He was just in something recently, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yes. And plus he did like that appearance in the Happy Gilmore number two, whatever it was, with Adam Sandler.
Yeah, he was all right.
Yeah.
Easy lift.
He's got a personality. Give him an easy script.
Who also thinks he won't be sitting at a sports desk with his brother Jason at some point? Because they're good together as a duo.
They are good.
Yeah.
But I think he's got bigger plans ahead of him. But that's it for Swipe or Stay, guys.
Thanks, Frank. Always a pleasure. Hey, guess what? Anthropic's still in the news. they're going after the government again. It is Daybreak. I'm Brian Newton.
I'm Jamie Martins, and this is the Civic Media Network.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:35 right now. Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. According to a report from a national coalition of small businesses, Wisconsin companies and their consumers paid approximately $3.5 billion in tariffs between March and December of 2025. 92% of the $426 million in tariffs Wisconsin businesses paid in December were levied by presidential action and were not approved by Congress. To tell us about the real-world impact of these tariffs and how the war with Iran might further complicate things is Kyle LaFond. He's the founder of Wisconsin companies American Provenance and Natural Contract Manufacturing. Kyle, thanks for being here. We appreciate your time today. So tell us a little bit about your companies and how the tariffs have affected you in the last year.
Yeah, Brian, Jamie, thanks for having me here today. As a manufacturer, the tariffs have been absolutely catastrophic. You know, when you're running a small business, you rely on certainties. And the only thing this administration has given us is uncertainty and chaos. The businesses I own and operate, we make personal care and wellness products. So any type of product you're going to put on your face or your body. And we make products for about 60 brands at this point. Some athletes and some celebrities and influencers as well. Unfortunately for us, you know, we're based here in Wisconsin, and there's not a lot of palm trees around here.
No.
We use it.
I haven't seen any, unfortunately.
No,
not recently.
No, we use a ton of coconut oil and shea butter and a lot of distilled oils that basically are manufactured overseas, primarily in Asian nations. So when these tariffs first hit, I took the strategy of trying to absorb those costs at first, and I did that for maybe about 6-7 months. Until it came to a point where it just was untenable. It wasn't a sustainable business practice. So we had to then, of course, relay those costs onto our clients, which then in turn get put on the American consumer. Tariffs are nothing but a tax on the American consumer. I've said that time and time again. That's very basic. And this administration doesn't seem to understand basic notions.
So the U.S. Supreme Court, Kyle, recently ruled, as a lot of us know, that these tariffs imposed last year were illegal, saying that the president essentially overstepped his authority. So what did that ruling mean for businesses just like yours that had already paid millions in tariffs?
I think it's a glimmer of hope, but I don't know if there's any way to actually recoup those funds. And so lobs are talking about, hey, maybe we band together and try to figure out a way to recoup those costs. But realistically, I don't see a viable path forward. I think that money is gone, and I don't know if there's ever going to be a way to get it back. You know, the Trump administration has already talked about other pathways to tariffs. So it's just going to be more of the same, you know, the same chaos and uncertainty that we experienced last year in 25. We're going to have to do that all over again here in 26. I'm not very optimistic about what's going to be coming down the pipeline here.
Let's go back to something you said, and we've been harping on this for the last year, and some people don't seem to get it yet, that the tariffs are a tax on us. Give us an example of what you were, when you were importing, say, the coconut oil, or how much has changed dollars wise for you, because like you said, you then had to pass the cost on to your suppliers, who had to pass the cost on to consumers. So we are paying for it, but people sometimes don't get it and they need a concrete example.
Yeah. So we had, if you take a look at all of our ingredients across the board, most everything increased by at least 30 to 35%. We had some ingredients, some inputs that increased as much as 100%. The other thing that's unfortunate about tariffs is just timing. So it used to be when we would place orders for all our inputs, they'd arrive here, you know, in 3 to 4 weeks. Now we're talking 3 to 4 months because there's a lot more red tape and bureaucracy as well. So you're not only increasing costs, but you're extending these timelines that our customers, they're not happy with. And if the customers aren't happy, then the American consumer's not happy. So when you're talking about anywhere from a 30, 35 up to 100% increase in inputs, of course that cost will be passed along. You've seen that in all kinds of stuff. A good example would be the cost of deodorant. You know, if you take a look, we make tons of deodorants here for all kinds of different brands. If you take a look at deodorants you're going to find on a store shelf, 2 years ago, most of them would have been priced right around $7.99, maybe $8.99, right? You go in there today, you're looking at $13.99, $14.99, $15.99. So it's very easy to see where these tariffs are impacting the American consumer. You're paying more for them. That's it. Period. Full stop.
We're talking with Kyle LaFond. He is the founder of Wisconsin Companies Natural Contract Manufacturing and American Provenance. He is also a U.S. manufacturing advocate. Now, after the Supreme Court's ruling on tariffs, this administration went ahead and didn't back down. They imposed another 10% global tariff on imported goods under yet a different law. So how much uncertainty does that create for companies that are trying to plan budgets? You mentioned the supply chain. We know that there's this impact in the Middle East now, which we'll get into a little bit more. But how does all of that play into what you're trying to do on a daily basis?
Yeah, it just turns around to luck. Hey, good luck planning anything. This administration has shown such a complete lack of understanding and lack of long-term thought. I've said since the get-go that there is a time and a place for tariffs. If you're strategic and surgical with where you place those, I'm looking specifically at China. We've ignored the China problem for the past 45 years. There's a time and a place. But to come in with a sledgehammer and apply these tariffs across the board to everything, that's just stupid. There's no other way to say it. So again, these costs, I had to shoulder them for a long time, and now, of course, I passed them on to the consumer. And that's what pretty much every single company has done that imports from other nations. So anything that's tariffed, guess what? As a U.S. consumer, you're paying for it. You know, there are all kinds of stuff out there, all kinds of figures. Some people estimate that tariffs cost the average American household somewhere between $1,100 and $1,500 last year. I think that's on the low end. I think it's actually much more than that if you really dig in and figure out where these costs were all absorbed.
Kyle, as an advocate and talking to other small business owners, are there stories similar? And we've heard now that some small businesses are being driven out of business just because of the increased costs. Are you seeing that bear out across Wisconsin?
I am. You know, most businesses operate on razor thin margins. You know, a lot of folks here, we're not out to gouge consumers or to have prices that are exorbitant. You know, everything from your coffee shop, coffee imports have been hit really, really hard. You're going to see a lot of coffee shops raising prices, maybe smaller independent shops closing, which is terrible. And that's where it really hurts. When you talk about small, independent, family-owned local businesses, you know, they're the ones that are paying the brunt of these prices. These global corporations, they can absorb some of these costs. And of course, they've got insiders and lobbyists in Washington to kind of ease the pain. But for Main Street businesses, we're the ones that are bearing the brunt of this and taking it on the chin. And this administration has shown that they care more about international corporations and the billionaire class, the Epstein class, than working class folks like myself and other business owners.
Kyle, there's several Wisconsin companies, and as we talk about the different size companies, from the smaller ones to the larger ones, we're talking the larger ones who have filed the lawsuit. I mean, we're talking Kohl's, Milwaukee Tool, Ashley Furniture, and they're suing to get some of their tariff payments refunded. What does that essentially say to you as a manufacturer when businesses feel that the only way they can possibly get their money back is when they have to go to court? And obviously, you just mentioned a little bit of the impact of the small businesses. They can't shoulder those types of court costs like these big companies can.
That's just it. I'm not aware of any small business like myself that has in-house counsel that can take on these legal matters. It's just not, it's not reality. So for a lot of us small business owners, you know, we have to band together, utilize organizations like Main Street Alliance to really kind of shoulder the burden there and make sure that our voices are heard. Those large corporations, you know, they're going to fight tooth and nail because they have the time, money, people, resources to get it done. And that's great for them, but that's not going to trickle down to small businesses like mine. You know, we've talked again as a community about how these tariffs have been terrible for our businesses, but we don't know if there's any way for us to ever recoup those costs. Yeah, it's going to take some extraordinary measures to get it done for small businesses and Main Street businesses like mine.
Kyle LaFond is our guest. He's the founder of Natural Contract Manufacturing in American Provenance. If you go to AmericanProvenance.com, you can learn all about the company based here in Wisconsin. We're hearing now that with the Strait of Hormuz being closed and all the, you know, we know oil is not getting through. How much effect will this add to what you're going through already as a small business owner?
It's going to be very interesting. Again, this administration, they've shown that no interest in long-term planning or strategy. You know, because of the sanctions that we've imposed on Iran for years, oil from Iran really doesn't come to the States. Oil from Iran has been fueling China's growth for years. So if you're cutting off oil from Iran to get to China, of course, Chinese inputs are going to increase. And so the costs I'm paying now for packaging, labeling, equipment, all those are going to go through the roof. So I'm not very optimistic about any type of breaks from China or other Asian nations here in the foreseeable future. If there was a strategy, if there was any long-term thought to this quote-unquote excursion that we have now in Iran, these things would have been considered and planned and thought about months in advance. This administration just is so impulsive and operates on just irrational thought all the time. And so, unfortunately, what the whim of the president is doing is going to affect businesses like mine more than I can even comprehend at this point.
So if with the energy prices, because we're watching the price of oil skyrocket kind of before our eyes, we're watching consumers have to pay more at the pump every single day. What do those prices, if they stay elevated at that level, what kind of industries in Wisconsin are going to see the hit first? Is it going to be everybody across the board, or will we see a domino effect?
You're going to see everybody across the board get hit. You know, with these gas prices going up, shipping is going to be diminished. You're going to have a lot of folks that are looking to cut back on spending. You know, affordability is the biggest issue facing this nation right now. And I don't understand why this administration feels it's right to keep on increasing prices when folks are begging for breaks. It's just not happening. So I think you're going to see a general slowdown in the economy because folks are going to be tight-lipped and keep their pockets, keep their wallets in their pocket rather than spending on consumer goods. So I'm really very tepid on what's going to happen over the course of the next 6 months. I think the end of 2026 here could be disastrous for the American economy if things continue on this path.
Where do you think the breaking point might be for not just you, but other small businesses that you talk to? Because there is that, you know, you're paying more, the consumer's paying more, the consumer doesn't want to pay, but even if they really support your product, there is that line where they say, I can't spend this much anymore. So where does that tip? It all will end up falling on the small business owner, correct? Because if I stop buying your product, there's nothing you could do about it. You can't lower the prices and go out of business that way. So you're in a no-win situation, right?
That's just it. I look at consumer spending. You know, if you look at, I think it was Q4 of last year, 50% of all consumer spending was spent by the top 10%. that's very, very troubling.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it, folks that are doing well are going to keep on doing well. Folks that are struggling are struggling even further. So for me, if I'm looking at consumer spending, and if we get to a point where consumer spending remains 50-60% by the top 10%, then we're in a really, really bad spot because folks just don't have disposable income. They're going to be focused on necessities rather than on discretionary items like those that we make.
Kyle, we have just about 30 seconds left. I know this isn't very much time, but for people listening today who are consumers, what's your, as somebody who's manufacturing these goods, what's your one piece of advice you could give them right now?
Speak up, call your politicians. Reach out to your federal elected officials, those in Congress and the House and the Senate. Tell them that, hey, this administration is out of control. We need to rein in everything that this Trump administration is doing and plans to do in the foreseeable future.
Kyle, we appreciate your time today. Kyle LaFond is the founder of Natural Contract Manufacturing and American Provenance. Two Wisconsin companies, AmericanProvenance.com. Kyle, have a great rest of your day. Thanks for the information. When we come back, there is more. There always is on Daybreak. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin wakes up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us. And hey, Brian, just a little reminder for our WMDX listeners. You at 8 o'clock are going to be going to Stephanie Miller to hear everything she has to say. But the rest of the Civic Media Talk Network is going to stay with us until 9 o'clock. And if you want to hear more of what we have to say, you can always check out that app. You can download it for free at your Apple or your Google Play Store. And, you know, check out all the stations and hear us and hear some great music all at the same time because there's plenty of options over there. So,
but mostly listen to us.
Yeah.
We're important. Yeah, there's other options, but options. Too many options just confuse you. So if you're, you know, just do that. We're glad you're here. And if you want to jump in now and get involved, always. You're welcome. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We have been following with great interest the Anthropic story. You know Anthropic. They do Claude, the big, very popular AI program that is, since this whole saga has started, has just exploded. Everybody's talking about Claude. Well, you also remember that Anthropic was put on the Defense Department's list as a supply chain risk because they refused to capitulate to some of the uses that the Pentagon wanted their program to be used for. They said, no, we haven't done enough research. It's not. We will not allow you to use it that way. So then Pete Hegseth decided that they were too woke for the military and put them on that risk, canceled their contracts, which cost millions. Well, now, as the saga continues, Anthropic is suing the Department of Defense and other federal agencies. They filed that suit Monday over the Trump administration's decision to label the AI company a supply chain risk, which is basically the scarlet letter. Once you're once you're labeled a supply chain risk, you are in your trouble, not only with the government, but other people who would purchase your product too. The Pentagon issued the supply chain risk designation after negotiations to update its contract with Anthropic broke down over two red lines that Anthropic wants the Defense Department to agree to. One, that its AI tool won't be used for mass surveillance of U.S. citizens. I'm good with that.
Right.
And that it won't be used for autonomous weapons. And those are the two sticking points that Anthropic will not budge on. And that made Pete Hegseth very mad. And so that's where we are now.
He had to get to a podium and do a lot of pointing like he was earlier this morning. But no, I all joking aside, what I think is interesting about this whole thing is that this administration always likes to draw a line in the sand with certain organizations, certain companies, certain people. Companies and people and organizations that you probably wouldn't have paid any attention to any other time in your life. And then
exactly.
They amplify it to the point where Claude is now one of the hottest, most in-demand type of word systems, AI functions that anybody is even talking about. Well, you could have just let it die down. Nobody would have even cared about Claude, and now everybody wants to be involved with Claude. And not to mention the fact that Anthropic CEO Dario Amodei is one of those guys who is actually taking on this administration and saying, I'm not going to bend the knee to you. I'm not going to do what you're asking. And they've now made Claude and Anthropic one of the hottest commodities
on the market.
Because they've martyred them, basically.
Yes.
The administration, in its unthinking need to have people obey them, has now created a martyr, a corporate martyr. And Anthropic looks like the good guy, like, yay, way to stand right up for this. And they may well be, but boy, it has backfired once again, like so many things for this administration.
It has. And I think if you're somebody who's paying attention to what this administration does, you have to think about this as the fact that this is a private company. And this is a private American technology company that is pushed back on how its tools can be used by the government, because they don't trust this company, and this CEO does not trust how this administration is going to use the tools that they have created. They don't know who's going to ultimately be in charge of those tools. They don't want them used for things like domestic surveillance or any sort of autonomous military systems. So if you think about that for a minute, and you're not just a little bit frustrated by this administration, if you're not a little weary of this situation, you should be, because this is a company saying, no, we've been in the meetings and we know exactly what you want these tools for, and we will not be a part of that. That should make all of us take a moment and go, whoa, what exactly are they trying to do with these AI tools at this point?
And then once again, this administration loves to be punitive. Instead of just canceling the contract or allowing the contract to expire, they need to go an extra step and try to make an example out of Anthropic. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, it's not working. So they're, you know, they thrive on the misconception that the more cruel and punitive they are, the more people will bend to them. And up until this point, we've seen it with media companies and other and some law firms. People do bend rather than have to fight it in court. Anthropic is saying, no, you've basically ruined our reputation. You have made it look like we are a risk to the security of this nation, and we are not going to have it. And you are going to have to answer for this in court. And I don't know who would want mass surveillance in this country that is not going to believe that Anthropic is doing the right thing. Autonomous weapons, I'm not a military expert, so I can't really speak clearly on that. I think it's good that we can't just have AI making the decisions. I think it's good to have human being. When it comes to methods of war and tools of destruction, you need human minds and people there to run it.
I mean, artificial intelligence is going to shape a lot of things going forward. Everything from our national security to our policing, our healthcare, our economy, even elections. I'm not naive to any of that. But if companies can't trust the government with how that technology is going to be used, they're going to start pulling back, like we're seeing Anthropic do right now. And if the government starts labeling those companies as risks simply because they set ethical limits for themselves, that's going to discourage innovation. It's going to discourage cooperation. At the same time, technology is going to keep moving faster than ever. And this is definitely something you're going to have to pay attention to going forward. It's 7:59 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. If you're leaving us, come listen on the app. If not, we'll be back with the final hour of the show on Mississippi.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.